Welcome to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa. You are tuned in to a show that will inspire you and empower you to move you from your past and help you grab hold to your God-given future. Using biblical, practical, and life experience, Pastor Teresa, along with her special guests, will be teaching women of all ages that the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as you share, talk, and grow. Now for the next 60 minutes, we invite you to the show. Here's your host. Hello, callers. This is Pastor Teresa, and you are tuned in to Share Talk as we share, talk, and grow. Understanding the life, the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Well, tonight we have some powerful information that I would love to share with you. Tonight I'm actually going solo because my co-host, she has a lot of things to do for the conference that I'm going to be telling you about in a few minutes that's going to be going on this week. So if you're tuned in, tell your sister, tell your auntie, tell your nieces and your cousins, if they're of age, they want to tune in to Share Talk on tonight. We are not going to discuss, is your husband frustrated over the lack of your interest in sex tonight? We want to share that the next Share Talk in next month with Lady Swenson. Lady Swenson is not going to be with us tonight, but I truly believe that God is going to have his divine way and what he's going to say on tonight with us tonight. But I want you to think about some things as I get ready to go into our segment that as wives, God gave us a gift and gave us something special and very unique. And sometimes I truly believe that we do not know the power that we possess on the inside to be who all God have us to be. And as you prepare your hearts and minds, let's go into prayer. Father, we thank you. We thank you for the time of sharing. We thank you for the women, that the ladies that's on the line tonight, God, that really want to develop a better walk with you, a better walk with their husbands, God, and their husbands to be, God. Touch every caller, every person that's on Twitter, and every person that's on Facebook that's linking in, God. Touch them right now. Open their eyes, open their ears, open their spirit that they can receive what you have to say on tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as I stated, that we're not going to go over our original discussion that we post on Facebook, but we do have a powerful, I believe, message that we want to share with you that we all as wives and wives-to-be can improve our relationship with our husbands. So tonight we're going to be talking about 9 ways of I'm learning to improve my attitude and my behavior in my marriage. 9 ways on how to improve my attitude and my behavior in marriage. Before I go into that, I would like to say this. I truly believe that as women, and especially as wives, and I know a lot of you are on that, you are mothers, but I'm going to talk to you as a wife tonight. So this segment is talking to all the wives and wives-to-be. We have multiple hats, and we wear multiple hats, and we deal with so many different things. But being a wife takes a very unique type of woman to be a very effective wife. Anybody can be a girlfriend, but it takes a very unique person to be a wife, a unique woman to be a wife. Not a man to be a wife, but a woman to be a wife. And so even with that being said, sometimes we are challenged into be that woman that God wants us to be, that wife that God wants us to be. And I truly believe, if you're tuning in on tonight, I truly believe that you're going to be blessed on what's going to be shared. Now, God is going to have us to review a very familiar passage in the Bible that a lot of times that we don't want to take a responsibility of what I'm about to say, because I had to go through the process too. And then look at your neighbor. If you got a neighbor by you, tell them, look at the process. Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to look at Galatians 5 and 22 through 23, and we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. I truly believe if each wife-to-be implement the fruit of the Spirit in their daily walk, it will improve your attitude and your behavior in your marriage. I know you're trying to say, well, that's something you learn about when you was a child. And some of you, if you're a member of the Father House Kingdom Ministry, you already know that we talk about the fruit of the Spirit so often. However, do we truly implement that in our lives? I see so many women and so many ladies getting on now, chiming in on Facebook and Twitter, but I want you to go ahead and repeat that we're not going to be discussing is your husband frustrated over the lack of interest in your sex. In sex, we're going to be discussing tonight because our co-host is not with me on tonight. I am going solo, but I truly believe God has a word for each of us on the line tonight. So tonight we're going to be dealing with 9 ways to improve our attitude and our behavior in our marriage. And as I stated that, if we take these 9 ways, which these 9 fruit, I promise you, if you take it and apply it to your life, it's going to make you better in any conflict or any situation that you're going through. As I stated earlier, we wear many hats. And the hat as a wife is a very, very, not I want to use the word stressful, but it's a very challenging task. Well, Pastor Teresa, why do you say it's a very challenging task? Because you're talking about 2 individuals, got 2 different backgrounds, came up 2 different ways as a child, coming together as one and want to make this baby work. Every female that I know of, that I'm aware of, that I came in contact, wants to have a relationship. You want to have someone in your life. And some of you are married and some of you are waiting to be married and you're engaged. But when you're talking about why we have so many conflicts or so many challenges come up in marriages, why is that? And it's because we are 2 people coming into S1 trying to merge 2 people into one. The Bible said that we're going to become as one flesh. Well, I want you to know, go ahead and tell you, and I'm pretty sure you know this already, it takes time to become as one. And you don't come as one when the first day you say, I do. Becoming one is a process. And in that process, it takes work. And I'm pretty sure you already know this by now. If you've been married 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, or a year, 20 years, it takes work. It takes a lot of sacrifices. It takes a lot of denying yourself, and it takes a lot of holding back that tongue. But some of the things that we face in our marriages is, do our husbands understand us? A lot of times we walk in marriages and in our marriage, and we don't really quite sure, do our husband understand us? And so we walk around frustrated and really not getting what we feel like we need because our husbands don't understand us. And then the next thing that some of the things that we challenge with, do we feel protected in the marriage? Some of us don't feel that our husband protects us in the marriage. So what we do, we're going to protect ourselves. So how we protect ourselves? We protect ourselves with our attitude. We protect ourselves by putting up walls. We protect ourselves by putting up defense mechanism. We protect ourselves by different methods. But is that helping you in the marriage? The next thing that we struggle with is having patience with our husbands, or our husband having patience with us. I'm talking about some of the challenges that we face in our marriage, and we're going to talk about 9 ways how we can improve our attitude and our behavior in our marriage. So the challenge that we are, some of the challenges we face is sometimes our husband being patient with us, because although sometimes, majority of the time, the woman is more the mature one when it comes down to how to come together, get the children together, how to pray, and all the spiritual things that a family is supposed to have, but yet we're dragging that man along. And so you get frustrated because you don't want to drag him. You just want him to lead you. But I'm here to let you know, if you've been on this show before, I'm pretty sure you heard me say, and Lady Swinson say, men don't have the training or the skills or the tools that a lot of us women have. So when we get married, we think we get married to a grown man. He looks grown. He's built like he's grown. His ID say he's grown. But a lot of time, men still walking out the little boy syndrome. And they don't even recognize themselves because they don't know. And then here we are, as strong women that we are, we try to tell them. Unfortunate, when we try to tell them, it comes out criticizing. It comes out like we're putting them down. It comes out like we're tearing them down versus picking them up and building them up. So they don't receive anything that we say because the way we say it. And we talked about the way we deliver our messages. The next thing, that one of the things that we find are challenges is finances. Oh man, is that a big one? It truly is a big one because a lot of time men do not have the training when it comes down to finances management. And so you're finding your husband spending money that we don't have, that we truly need to put it in one area or put it in different areas, but yet he decides he wants to purchase an item, a tool, equipment, or something that really we don't need. So you get frustrated about that. You're like, well, I don't understand it. Why you don't understand the finances of managing finances and all that kind of stuff? And you're saying to yourself, man, you really got some serious problems here. Well, let me help you out. And just like I stated a couple minutes ago, that men do not have the training that we have, because once you have a child, and some of you say, well, Pastor Teresa, I had my child after I get married. I got you. But a lot of times, women, your mother, I guarantee you, set you down some kind of way, or you watch her and you learn from her behavior how to manage your money. Well, unfortunately, a lot of men do not be raised in a home, and if they are raised in a home where there's a man involved, that man does not sit them down or do not show them the proper way how to manage money. So here's this grown man that looks grown. ID say he's grown. His social security card, his birth certificate says he's grown, but yet he got little boy syndrome and he get married to you with your structured self. Mm-hmm. You heard me. You so structured. You got everything together, got everything lined up, but you married a man that truly don't have those tools and have not been trained to do what you know how to do. So that in turnarounds and frustrate us. And of course, if we get frustrated, especially with finances, what we do, we're going to shut it down. We're going to take over. We want to take over. Or we say certain things that damage their spirit, to damage them, and then make them feel like the little boy that they may be acting like. Oh, I got something for that too. And the last thing is, one more thing after that, responsibility. Responsibility is another area that we get frustrated in because we don't see that husbands take responsibility out of their actions or their home or even being responsible to be as a Christian. And so we get frustrated as wives. Well, oh, I can't understand why he's not responsible, why he don't keep on dates when he need to maintenance the car or when the lawn need to be cut. You know, we keep everything. We don't have to write nothing down, but we keep it in our head. Why do our husband don't do the very thing that we do? Why he always late paying bills or always late doing something? He's not responsible. Unfortunately, I hate to be redundant, but I have to because it goes back to this training or non-training that this man, your husband, never received. And unfortunate when we marry someone that have never had that training, and unfortunately, it frustrates us and it causes us to act out in a certain way. Well, is that an excuse? Maybe for you it may be an excuse, but I truly believe you don't have to if you understand the principle and understand who you marry. Once you understand who you marry and submit that to God, I truly believe it will cause you to understand us a little bit better and have a little bit more patience. And last but not least, somebody say sex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, we're supposed to be talking about sex tonight, but we're not going to talk about sex totally, but we're going to talk about that. That's another area that is frustrating to wives. We have wives that work, go to school, clean up, wash the children, wash the clothes, cook, all that kind of stuff. But homeboy is ready Freddy every time, like Mother Jones always say. Ready Freddy all the time. At a drop of a dime, he's ready. And you around here like, baby, it's not all that. Come on, really? I'm tired. I done worked all day. I don't deal with the kids. You don't wash them. You don't bathe them. You don't clean up. You don't do this. But yet you're ready, Freddy. Unfortunate, if we don't put that in the right perspective, guess what happened? Not only going to frustrate us, then we're going to deprive something that really is due to our husband. But unfortunate, here we are. We're taking something from our husband that is something that God placed in the hands of a man and a woman to do but you're taking from him because you're frustrated and you're just tired and you wore out and all that good stuff there. So those are the areas that I see a lot of times that we're so much frustrated. And we're not even going to mention the kids. We're not even going to mention the kids because that's another area that we're going to talk about on another show when we're talking about the children. Because I truly believe wives, we get frustrated in that area too, because we're trying to raise them up in a certain way, or we need more assistance with the children, and the man take a little down seat and don't really participate with the children. But like I stated, God has given us a message on tonight, given us some tools on tonight, and I just want to share with you very quickly about these 9 tools, which are the fruit of the Spirit. 9 ways on how to improve our attitude and our behavior in our marriage. The first one is love. Love. Love is the number one, of course, is the key to everything. But as wives, we need to love our husband unconditionally. I know I said this yesterday. We were talking, me and my husband, we ministered for our church yesterday on a topic called the Love Challenge. And one of the things I stated to the audience in the congregation was, my husband had to do anything else. He don't have to stop doing anything or do anything to make me love him, because I love him unconditionally. Unfortunately, a lot of times our love comes with condition, and you don't want to have a love come with conditions because you don't want no one to love you with conditions. However, as wives, we have to work on that, because if he don't do everything right, you just don't. Our love tend to dwell down, which it should not dwell down, because if we walk in the fruit of the Spirit, then our love should increase, because something about your husband, when you saw him, when you met him, when you date him, when you were dating him, and when you got engaged, it was something about this man that you fell in love with. And with that said, that I'm not saying you're not going to go through challenges, because we all go through challenges. I remember when my husband, when we first got married, we went through many different challenges, different phases in our marriage. But I can honestly say that my love continued to grow. One thing I had to learn to do is I had to separate some things. And this is a thing that a lot of couples do, a lot of individuals do. We put everything in one basket. I had to learn how to separate those things, because when you don't separate it and you put everything in one basket, when it's time to talk or when it's time to discuss something, you blow up because you put everything in one basket. What do you mean, Pastor Teresa, that you're talking about put everything in one basket? This is what I mean. If you're upset one thing, maybe a late car payment that's supposed to have been made on Monday and he chose to pay it on the next following week, and you're upset about that, and you just upset because he's not being responsible, not accountable to what he's supposed to have done. Then he actually go play basketball 2 weeks later. You never dealt with the car situation, never dealt with him being late on a car payment, but then when he go out and he stays out longer than what he's supposed to, you get upset, blow up, because you never dealt with it. You put everything in one basket. So when you do lash out about the basketball situation, guess what happens? You also lash out about the car situation. And so you put everything, and that's just one illustration that I can use that I know a lot of times the women go through. I had a lot of emails, inboxes for the past couple weeks about different situations that their women as wives were facing and challenging, and it was so many different situations, but all of them actually end the same way. Because a lot of times, if we as wives not going to God for ourselves and not building our relationship for ourselves, it's going to affect our relationship or our development with our husband. And I know you may say, well, Pastor Teresa, I understand all that. I go to church, I read my Bible, I pray, I do all this kind of, and he's still not changing. Well, you got to ask yourself a question. Are you doing these things for him to change? Are you doing these things? Are you praying for him to change? Are you going to church for him to change? Are you paying your tithe and offering for him to change? Are you doing the things? Are you doing stuff that you're supposed to be doing for God? Are you doing it with a motive? And if you're doing it for a motive, guess what's happened? Then you're doing it with the wrong intent. You have to do it because the things that you're doing, being holy, being a faithful wife, we're going to talk about that in a minute, being patient, we're going to talk about that in a minute, all this other stuff, doing that is what you're supposed to do. It doesn't matter if you're married or not. Some of the things that you're doing, you're supposed to do that. But if you're doing that, reaching for a result for your husband, then you got the wrong method and you got the wrong motive, because your motive should be you want to do what God calls you to be. So with that said, number one, we talked about love. You should love, we as wives should love our husband unconditionally. And you can actually read a little bit more about that on 1 Corinthians 13. It requires us to have grace, forgiveness, and make sacrifice and respect our husband. It talks about that. Love is the foundation in your relationship. If love is not the foundation in your relationship, I promise you, you're not going to be patient. You're not going to have joy. You're not going to walk in peace. You're not going to walk in kindness, because the love is not there. I can truly say, for me, because I love my husband, and because I'm walking, I tried my best to walk in the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm not saying I'm all the way there. Hello, somebody? How are you there? I'm not all the way there, but I strive for perfection. I try to master these fruit of the Spirit, so therefore I can get the results what God wants, and that's the main thing. I want to give God the results that he wants, not so much what my husband wants, but for what God wants, because if I give God what he wants, guess what? My husband is going to get what he needs and what he wants. Number two is joy. This is something that really determines your attitude. If you have joy in making his food, if you have joy greeting him when he come home from work or whatever situation may be, if you have joy, I mean joy is something that he don't give you. Joy is something that you already possess, and it's from God. If you're looking for your husband to give you joy, you're looking to the wrong person. Only God can give you joy, and only joy, that particular joy, it never runs out. Now, if you're looking for happiness, happiness runs out, because we're not always happy every day, but we sure can have joy every day. Number three, peace. We should be able to walk in peace. There are many ways that we can improve peace in our marriage, and one important way is being a peacemaker. As wives, we got to know how to be a peacemaker. And I know for sure, and I speak to a lot of wives, I talk to a lot of wives, I talk to myself. I look in the mirror at myself, and I say self, and self say, And I have to talk to myself about walking in being a peacemaker in your marriage. There's some questions that you don't have to ask. There's some statements you do not have to make. There's some things that you say, or your body movement or your body suggestion that you're making, you do not have to do that. And when we know, and I said this before, I'm going to say it again, a lot of times we know exactly what we're doing, when we do, and how we do it. We know how to get up under his skin. We know how to make him upset, because now you're upset, you're going to make him upset. And then we go from tit for tat. We should be, as wives, we should walk in the walk of peace. We should have peace. We should be a peacemaker. So that means that we don't come in argumentative. And I never met so many women that's so much argumentative. They argue about everything. You may say, well, Pastor Teresa, that's just the way I talk. Well, you need to change the way you talk, because you sound argumentative. You're not just argumentative with your husband. You're argumentative at your job. If you go to church, and I know, pretty sure a lot of you do, I'm pretty sure you sound argumentative at your job, at your church too, because you are an argumentative person. You're fussy. Everything that you say comes out like you're fussing, versus that, you know, you grace it with peace and grace. And that's something that we as women, we have to work on. Then when we have conversation, our conversation don't sound like we're arguing. Our conversation sound like we're having a conversation and not having an argument. And that's something that I know a lot of wives need to work on. I remember years ago, I used to have that problem that everything I talked about was loud, and you know, I felt like that's to get my point across. But you know, you don't have to talk loud. I used to hear my grandma used to say, "Women, ladies should be seen, not heard." And that's a true statement. It's old school, but it's a very true statement. People should see us before they hear us. The next thing is patience. Patience can sometimes require quite a lot of restraint and have control. And even though we're going to talk about self-control, but to have patience, sometimes you got to restrain what you want to say and what you want to do. We're talking about how can I improve my attitude and my behavior in my marriage. You need to have some patience. And some of it is why we don't have the patience. You know, they don't talk fast enough. They don't move fast enough. Hello, somebody. They don't move fast enough. Hello, somebody. They don't move fast enough. Hello, somebody. They don't do it just the way we want them to do, and so we don't have the patience. So guess what we're going to do? We're going to do it for them. Mm. And even though he may not say nothing to you, but I promise you that if you sit down and ask your husband, he don't like that. Because if you ask him one time, twice, three times, and he haven't got to it, it's not that he don't remember or that he don't want to do it. Maybe he got some other things that's on his mind that's preventing him, or things that, you know, he needs to put in part, you know, in the order, and he may need some assistance in that area, but he don't need you to take it over and do it for him as if he cannot do it. I know, I heard you. I heard you in the spirit. You're saying, well, Pastor Teresa, it take them so long. Why they just can't do it when I ask them to change the light bulb or whatever the situation may be? The problem is that they're not us and we're not them. And we move quick, we think quick. But that don't mean that we should use our gifts and what we are able to do to put our husbands down. Remember, a wise woman built her house, but a foolish woman tears her house down. And when we go about doing those ways and not being patient with our husband, patient with their method and how they do stuff, just trust me, we're tearing our husbands down and we don't want to do that. So we need to be patient in our marriage. We need to have patience with his methods. We need to have patience with his conversation. I remember sharing this with you before, and some of you are new to the line and new to Share Talk. I remember a time when me and my husband have a discussion, and I have this thing where I used to have this thing where when people talking to me, especially him, because he talks not very slow, but he talks slow because he's thinking about what he wants to say. Well, I'm over here and you can't see me, so I'm fortunate, but I'm gonna try to describe as much as I can. I'm over here like giving him suggestions like, you need to hurry up. My eyes got big. My head moving fast. My hands are telling him, like, come on, get it out. And I did not know how much it bothered him prior to him telling me. I did not know it bothered him. And one day we was talking, and he said, I asked him a question. I think I asked him, what did I do to you that bothers you? And this is a couple years ago. And he said, I don't like that you don't have patience when I talk. I don't like that you always rushing me to come out what I'm about to say. I don't want to say the wrong thing, so I think about what I say before I say it. And so it comes out slow. And I'm like, look at him. And he was so serious, and he was so real about what he was saying. And I heard and I seen the hurt in his eyes because of the suggestions I was making with my body and with my face expressions. And so when I learned that, I practiced, and I think I shared this with you before, I practiced how to sit there and not move my hands to give him a suggestion that I'm telling him to hurry up. I train myself not to make my eyes move up and down, around the corner, because it gave him the impression that I wanted him to hurry up to get to the point so I can say something. I don't want him to hurt, and I definitely don't want him to hurt because of something I'm doing. So I had to get to the place where I had to have patience with him, patience with how he do stuff. And you're saying to yourself, Pastor, this is going to take me a long time to do that. Well, if you keep telling yourself you're going to take a long time, it is going to take you a long time. You got to tell yourself this is not what you want to do. And you got to tell yourself that every day, and you need to train yourself. You need to become disciplined. You need to go in your closet and pray, and then you need to get on your own, go to a park, go by yourself, on your way to work, on your way to church, whatever the situation may be, and you need to discipline yourself and train yourself what not to do. Because you're not going to keep telling God, oh, that's just the way I am. Oh, that's excuses we're making. And I used to hear our older used to say this, excuses is only a dressed-up lie. Excuses is only a dress-up lie. So we got to stop making excuses for our behavior, but we don't want our husband to make excuses for their behavior. The next thing is kindness. That's number five, kindness. Kindness is a great way to show kindness in your marriage through all random of kinds of actions towards your spouse. Seek ways to meet your husband's needs before he asks you. It's nothing like when your husband don't have to tell you some stuff because you're paying to his, and I know this is something we're good for. We're good to pay attention to our husband's likes and dislikes. But the problem is when your marriage is going through challenges, can you do the same thing as if you was happy? Oh, that's nothing was wrong. Don't stop doing these kind things and these kind actions because you're mad. That's not the time you need to stop. That's the time you need to do even more. But when you stop it because you're mad, then that lets him know and make him feel that you only do this when you're in your happy moment. Well, you can't just do that in your happy moment. You still got to produce, and you still got to be kind and produce kindness even when your marriage is going through. I thank God, and we need to thank God, that God don't show us love only when we're obedient to him. He show us love every time he wake us up. And he knows that we're not going to be obedient to him that day. He knows that we're not doing everything that he asks us to do. But yet, he still give us his mercy and his grace, and he show us kindness because he woke us up this morning. And he allowed us to start us on our way. And when we should have been punished, we wasn't. So we need to bless God for that. So if God can do that for us, surely we can do that for our husband. Even in your challenging moment. Right now, I'm getting email inboxes right now. I hear you, sweetie. I got you. It's nothing like, and I got you. I hear you. It's difficult when you're going through a challenging situation to continue to be nice and sweet and kind. But when you take on the mind of Christ, it produces the fruit of the Spirit. And when you understand you're not doing this just unto your husband, you're doing this unto God, because this is what he commands. This is what he asks of us. This is what he wants of us. Remember, God did not tell, your husband did not come with the rule, wives, be submissive to your husband. God did that. Man did not come up with that. God did that. So, and then the Bible says, as unto the Lord. So you suppose, we as wives, we supposed to be submissive unto our husbands as unto the Lord. So that's not something their husbands came up with. That is something God wrote, and that's what God wants. So we got to remove, sometimes we have to remove husband out of the way because of what they're doing or not doing. So therefore we cannot get frustrated and then act out in a behavior that this is not God, what God wants. I hear you, sweetie. You're saying, well, Pastor Teresa, it's so hard because, you know, I can't see that, because it's just really hard for me to really put myself down and submit to something that I truly believe that's not going to work, that's not a good idea, or that's a stupid idea, whatever the situation may be. But listen here. My question to you would be, do you want your marriage to work? And how long are you going to think, where you think you're going to go? You get divorced from him tomorrow, today, next week? You want to get married? You're going to get married again. And what's going to happen when you run through these same challenges with your next husband? And some of us already been, we're on our second husband. This is my second husband. Unfortunately, sometimes I don't try to claim the first one, but I have to be honest. Ooh, Jesus. Yeah, I have to be honest, because I was very young when I got married the first time, and I really did not know anything. I got married out of obligations, and I was making a lot of mistakes. I was in my 20s and did not know what I was doing. I really left one relationship, went straight into another one. Actually, one relationship, that relationship was already built upon. I didn't supposed to get married. God told me not to get married, but I got married out of fear and obligation. So I'm here to let you know that you don't have to make the same mistake. Now, you may say, well, Pastor Teresa, if you had these tools and if you knew what you know now, would you would have stayed married? No, for one, I would never got married. I would never got married because he was, not to go off on him, but he was not a marriage material. I did not know what a husband's supposed to be like. There was a lot of things, warnings that I got before I got married, and I shouldn't have got married. There was domestic violence involved. There was a lot of sexual perversion involved. I should never entwine myself with that, but because I wasn't whole, not so much on him, I'm taking, move him out the way, but I'm talking about me. I wasn't whole myself. I was messed up. I was jacked up, and here's this jacked up woman going to get married to somebody else that was already jacked up, and so we had a jacked up marriage. So what I'm saying is, but now you are married, and some of you, I'm hoping and praying everybody on the line and on Twitter and on Facebook that you're saved. And if you're saved, you can't treat your marriage the way the world tells us to treat our marriage, because the world tells us, you know, if he don't please you and he make you mad and this, that, another, trade him in for something that will. Well, that's not how God tells us. That's not what God wants for our marriage. We can't get married to get happy. That's not a reason why you're supposed to get married. That's a whole nother subject right there. The next one is number six, goodness. Goodness is found at the core of your will. It should be inspire you to follow through with the rest of the fruit of the Spirit. Goodness is found at the core of your will. So in other words, that at your will, goodness is found. That means, you know, goodness, when I think about goodness is, I think about, you know, I'm a good person. I try to be. I'm definitely a good person now, but I ain't always been this way. And so I try to tell people all the time, don't too much look at me now and say, well, you just got it all together. Well, it took me time to get where I am. And what we're trying to do is help you kill some time. You don't have to wait 20 years and 15 years and 10 years to get these principles when people have gone through these processes and can tell you the shortcut. Do you hear what I'm saying? And there's some things you do have to learn from yourself, learn for yourself. But if you take these principles and take these tools, I truly believe it will help you out. I truly believe that. And the next one is number seven, faithfulness. And this is something that, and I'm going to say some things to you ladies, because I know this is something we deal with. We talk about men dealing, you know, being unfaithful and cheating and, you know, all those kind of stuff with other women. But we got to make sure we find ourselves faithful too. Not only just, you know, with other men, you know, cheating or flirting or having these emotional relationships, but we got to find ourselves faithful in our conversation. We need to find ourselves faithful in what we do, instead of doing things that our husband don't know we're doing. That's another form of being unfaithful. When you're doing stuff that your husband don't have no clue that you're doing. And I'm not just talking about affairs. I'm talking about spending money. We got to be very mindful that if you're going to be as one, you're trying to grow as one, the little seeds that you're sowing in your marriage, the enemy can take that and explode. You may say, well, oh, that's true, you're messing me up. Because, see, my husband, he's so... You know, if I go buy this and I be seeing this, I'm not saying that. So you need to come up with a strategy. You guys need to come up with, especially if you're the type of person that love to spend money on certain little things, because I'm not saying it's not needful. I'm not saying that it's not something that you need. However, if you're sneaking doing stuff that your husband's not aware of, especially with finances, and we ain't even talking about affairs because we know you're not doing that. You should not be having an affair because you're having a relationship with God for yourself. And that's another thing I want to part right here. When you think about your relationship with your husband and you think about being unfaithful, let's talk about being unfaithful with another person. You got to think about, you have a relationship with God for yourself. So you just don't be faithful, but you be faithful because you're married. You should be faithful because you love God. But if your motive of not having an affair on your husband has all to do with your husband, then you're going to have an affair on him. Because there's going to be time he's going to frustrate you, and he's going to make you mad, and he's going to upset you, and he's not going to be there for you the way you want him to be there. And if your motivation is because your husband is the reason why you don't have an affair, then that's going to run out. Your motivation also should be my relationship with God. My relationship with God keeps me in check. My relationship with God keeps me motivated to keep myself to be faithful. But I want to go back to what I was saying about the finances or anything else that we could be doing as wives to be unfaithful. When we sit and sow those seeds and we don't be faithful in everything that we do, no, you're not perfect, but you're a woman of God. I want to believe, and I'm speaking, that you're a woman of God that wants to do the way God wants to do and not the way you want to do. Because if our desire to please God, that means we got to do it the way he wants us to do it. But when I said that the finances, you have to come up with a strategy. I was telling one of my members that, you know, come up with a strategy. You need to pay yourself. If you know that you spend X amount of dollars on the items, if you've got a business or if you love decorations or whatever the situation may be that you love to do, then you need to come up with a plan, you and your husband. Say, hey, I normally spend this amount, let's say $150. $150 on several different items. And so that becomes a bill. If it's once a month, if it's once a quarter, whatever the situation may be, and say, hey, but y'all come in agreement with that. So he can't get upset and you're not sneaking and you're not doing something that he don't know about because y'all both came up with agreement on a once a month or a quarterly basis, I spend $150 on whatever, plus what you pay yourself so you can spend on you or whatever the situation may be. If it's the kids, whatever it needs to be, you have to come up with that because I have learned and I have seen, even with myself, have seen with marriages, those little small things affect the marriage to the point it brings divorce. Divorce is mentioned because they're little small things. Me and my husband, we counsel many couples, and it's the little small things that just kill the vine, and it destroys the vine. And you're like, well, that's so small. When you sit down and think about it and start talking about it, it seems to be so small. But in a marriage, it seems so big. Right now, we're going to go ahead and stop right here and take a commercial. And I'm going to come back, and we're going to go over the last two, and we're going to be in for the day. I want you to keep in mind, this is Share Talk with Pastor Teresa, and this is Wives Monday. Our co-host is not here today. She got a conference going on that I want to tell you about this conference going on the 7th and the 8th. But I want you to stay tuned for the commercial.
Hi, this is Pastor Teresa, and I personally would like to invite you to experience the Inspire Magazine. Inspire Magazine is a magazine that's offering women and girls information and articles about issues that we face every day, from marriages and singles, parenting, relationships, spirituality, education, depression, health, finances, fitness, career, and yes, beauty. Each issue will feature stories and testimonies of women that live right here in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. You do not want to miss out on this. You want to have this magazine amongst your other reading material. You won't regret it, but you will be empowered, motivated, and most of all, inspired to inspire someone else. Visit me today on the website, TeresaBurtonMinistry.com, and purchase your copy. Hope to see you.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
And we're back, and this is Pastor Teresa with Share Talk, learning the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. We want to finish our nine ways to improve our behavior and attitude in our relationship, and I left off talking about number 7, faithfulness, and we're going to go into number 8 with gentleness. Somebody say gentleness. Gentleness, and this is something that I think a lot of times women, we struggle with, some of us struggle with, because we don't know how to be gentle. We don't know how to be gentle with our conversations. We don't know how to be gentle with our touches and our movement because we are strong women. And it's nothing like when a man is married to a woman that is strong, that don't know how to be gentle. And we can be gentle and still be strong. It does not take away from you when you are gentle. It don't make you weak, because I know a lot of times we think that if we do this or we say that, if we cry, if we show this emotions, it makes us look weak, but that's not true. The enemy has told me that. I did it for years, and when I did get emotional, my husband was like, okay, what's wrong? He didn't know what to do because he never saw me cry. And so, and I think we was like in our third year of marriage, maybe 4 years of marriage. And at that point, he never seen me cry. And when he did see me cry, I was mad. And so it was not like a softer cry. It was like a mad cry. You know how you get mad when you're mad at somebody and you're ready to fight? Well, it was that type of cry. That type of cry, that ain't nothing. That's a whole nother story. But we want to be gentle with our touch and gentle with our conversation. We want to be gentle with our mannerism, because it's very hard for a man to really know how to caress and be there for you when you're so hard and everything you say is hard and everything you do is hard. We have to learn to be gentle. And you may say, well, Pastor Teresa, that's how I've been all my life. I got that, boo. I understand that. But we have to train ourselves. The way you hear me now, and then some of you, the way you see me, I didn't always been that way. I was a hardcore person. I was the type of person that I dropped you like a bad habit. I was the type of person I hurt you before you hurt me. I was the type of person I would leave you before you leave me. And I did not care about nobody's feelings but my own. But I had to change because it was not, I wasn't building good relationships. And I found myself going in and out of relationships, and I was hurting a lot of people. And then when I got saved, I just really seen who I really was. I was this little girl, hurt, frustrated, and everything I was doing, it was only a defense mechanism causing me to defend myself and put up these walls. That's all I was doing. Because I was a hurt little girl, and because I carried around all that hurt, I built myself up so strong till I was hurting other people. And that's not what God wants us to do. And so when I got saved and I got delivered and I really started seeing who I really was and what my real problem was, I just thank God that God allowed me to see me, and then I was willing to change. My question to you, are you willing to change? If you continue telling yourself, like I said earlier, that you always been this way, this is how I was born, this is, you got to deal with it, he need to understand, this is my makeup, and this is how I do. If you got that concept, one of two things going to happen. You're going to be divorced, or you're going to have an unhealthy marriage. You're going to be divorced, or you're going to have an unhealthy marriage. And what's going to happen is, and this is sad to say, and I'm not making no excuses for men to do this or a woman to do this, if you stay in that mode and stay with that concept, your husband is going to cheat. He's going to find, if it's not a physical cheat, it's going to be an emotional cheat, because he's going to be looking for somebody that's going to be gentle. He's going to be looking for somebody that's soft. He's going to be looking for somebody that can talk with him without being so and so loud and so, like, argumentative. So you want to be gentle. You want to ask God, I want that spirit that calls me to be gentle, that I want to be physical, intimate with my husband and be gentle. And it is okay if you had to grab another woman and say, hey, I don't know how to do this. Can you teach me? Can you show me something? Can you just coach me out, coach me on some areas that I can learn how to be gentle, because I don't know how. It's nothing wrong with you asking for help. Is something wrong when you need help and you never ask for it? That's something wrong with that. If you need help in this area, of any area that we talked about up to this point, you need to ask somebody. You need to ask somebody that you trust, and you need to ask somebody that you know that can help you. Now, because you may ask somebody that you trust, but they can't help you because they got the same problem. And that's another thing that we as women, that we got to work on better. Some of us women, we do not want to be challenged by no woman. You don't want a woman telling you anything, and you go for tit for tat for everything a woman, a strong woman, a woman that sees it in your life, or a woman that can tell you what to do, but because she's not going to back down or whatever the situation may be, you take that offensive. Well, guess what? And then you go to somebody that is a yes person. Yeah, this and yeah, that, and say, yeah, girl, I understand. I'm the same way. But that's not the person you need to go to. You don't need to go to somebody that's just like you, and they're going to compliment the way you are. You need to go to someone that's going to challenge you to do better, that's going to understand you, of course, but they're going to challenge you to be better in being a better wife, a better mother, a better vessel. So we're talking about being gentle. You need to have a gentle spirit when you talk to your husband and when you talk to your children. And that's something I had to work on. I'd always been gentle, as I stated, especially with my children. Oh, my God. Oh, especially with my baby girl, Takesha Close. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ooh, I ain't always been gentle. And I had to learn along the way how to do that, and, you know, how to implement that and really be that. Even my oldest daughter, I ain't always been gentle to her as well, especially when she was younger. I wasn't always gentle, but because I didn't see gentle, I wasn't treated gentle, so I only did what was done to me. But the key thing is I had to learn that I had to learn how to do things better. The next thing is number 9 is self-control. Look at your neighbor and say self-control. Self-control. Self-control is a something that we all need to train ourselves about and learn how to self-control. Self-control really basically mean that you control your emotions, you control your behavior, control your anger. When you want to be angry and lash out, you control that. You have to have self-control. So if you understand that, because in a marriage, to really build a healthy marriage, you have to really understand that you got to have self-control. You can't just say anything out your mouth. You just can't do anything. You just can't go any place. You got to have self-control. You got to have self-control over what you say to your children also. You want to build yourself to the point, and this is something, again, with patience, again, you have to know how to have self-control, and that's something that takes time, and it takes discipline, it takes training. You have to train yourself. You got to discipline yourself to have self-control. We talked about nine fruit tonight. We talked about self-control, gentleness, faithfulness. We talked about goodness. We talked about kindness. We talked about peace. We talked about joy, and we talked about love. Tonight, we talked about nine ways to improve our attitude and our behavior in our marriage. We talked about that, and we actually want you to understand, we want you to understand, for you to be an effective wife and effective mother, and we specifically talking about being a wife, because today is Wife Mondays. We want you to understand you have to develop the nine fruits of spirit. If you don't carry that, if you don't house that, it's going to affect your marriage, and you'll find yourself frustrated, and you're going to have a frustrated marriage. And I'm pretty sure you do not want that. And I'm pretty sure your husband don't want that either. And I hear you saying, well, Pastor Teresa, I hear all that. I hear what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, but what about him? That's the stuff that you have to build, and that's the stuff that you have to take to God. You got to say, God, I lift my husband unto you, God. God, I lift him. I'm going to leave him in your bosom. God, I am not going to touch it. I'm not going to try to make him to be who I want him to be, but I'm going to pray that he be the man of God you desire him to be. And I pray that somebody come across his path that he can listen to, that can pour into him, they're going to be able to build him. Now, you build him one way, but you pray that another man of God or another man can come and be his friend or be his brother or be his pastor or be his mentor that can push him to where he wants to, where you see that God wants him to go. Now, the key thing is remove what you want. Because we all want something for our husband. But your main objective needs to push him to be what God wants, what he wants. Because if he be all what God wants him to be, he's going to be everything you want. Now, the key thing, are you ready to receive what God wants? Now, you want a husband, but do you want a husband that truly live by God's ways and truly be what God wants him to be? Because that's a whole nother realm. That's a whole nother challenge all by itself. Because if, God forbid, if you're a fleshly woman, if you're a carnal-minded woman, because if God saved your husband, he saved and developed your husband to be the man of God he needs to be, and he be all what God wants him to be, baby, you in for a rude awakening. You in for a surprise. Because one thing I can truly say, and I'm a living witness to that, when my husband got on to the things of God, I promise you, everything was totally different. We got one more commercial we want to run by you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to let you know about this conference that's going on this week, and we're going to close out our segment with prayer, and we're going to bless God for what he's doing.
If you're in the Jacksonville area, we welcome you to attend the Father's House Kingdom Ministries. Our services are held Sundays at 11 a.m. and Wednesday Bible studies at 7:30 p.m. The address is 6455 Restlawn Drive in the beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida. Also, visit our website at www.fathershousejack.com. We look forward to seeing you in one of our services.
We're back, and we're going to do the final, and we're going to finalize this with prayer. We just want to thank God for all the listeners and all the greeters. I do have a question that's on the line that I'm going to answer. Some of the questions, ladies, that you're having, I would like to speak with you personally, and I will inbox you individually. But I will answer this question, this particular question, but some of y'all questions are a little bit more personal and a little bit more depth. And I will inbox you directly and answer your question. One of the questions that was asked of me, and we're going to say this question, I'm going to answer it, and then we're going to pray it out, and we're going to bless God, and we're going to have another segment on next Monday. The question is, how do you gain patience with a husband if he don't have patience with you when you have a conversation? Okay. How do you have patience with your husband if he don't have patience with you when you have a conversation? Okay. The key thing is you don't be patient with your spouse, with your husband, because he's patient with you. That's number one. So you don't give to your husband because he's giving back to you. You give to your husband because it's the right thing to do. If you're looking, again, go back to what I said earlier, and I'm hoping that you're on, that you heard me when I say this. We don't do the right thing because our husband's doing the right thing. We do the right thing because it's for us to do. We should do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, and this is what God commands us to do. Don't do tit for tat. I promise you, tit for tat do not work. Don't try to give him something because he's giving you something, or whatever, vice versa. Don't do that. Give him patience because you are patient. And you never know, and I'm being serious about this, you never know, however you are will help him be what he needs to be. The main thing, I want to say this because I'm hoping I'm answering your question. I'm reading your question correctly, and I'm answering it correctly based on the word of God, how God has given it to me. One of the things I have learned that if we try to seek things to get a result, like I stated earlier, it's not going to work. When we do things the way God wants us to do, you will see more results because we're doing it unto God than versus doing it unto our husbands. You'll see more benefits when you actually do it with the right motive, in the right manner, if we just, not because you want your husband to change. When I first got married, I had that same concept too. I'm not going to lie. I would not lie to you. I had that concept too, that when I first got married, I did stuff because I wanted a return. I wanted something my husband to do. But then when I realized, and my first book that I read was The Power of the Praying Wife, and I'm hoping to pray, a lot of you wives get that. And if you have not heard of that book, it's The Power of a Praying Wife. It's by Stormy, I think her last name is Stormy. But you type that in Google, I promise it's going to pop up. And when I read that book, I heard God speak to me through this woman in this book. And the book is really basic. It's not praying about my husband, it's praying about me. So I started seeing myself, you know, I saw how selfish I was. I seen how, even though I know wife, I'm not selfish. Yeah, sometimes we are, because a lot of times we want them changing because of what we don't like or what we think. And I promise you, it makes it all better, and it makes it all worthwhile. I thank God that, you know, when I went through that process, and then I went through another season of my life, and it was a very short season, but it was a season, and I saw the residue, I saw the seeds, I saw the harvest of my seeds that I was sowing, because I stopped focusing all on what I want my husband to do. I stopped focusing on that. I stopped only focusing on what, God, I want to be the wife that you have me to be, and I want to grow what you want me to grow into be. I want to be the best wife. So I stopped. When I cook, I was praying, God, I want my food to be explosive. I want my food to test the best. When I made love to my husband, I said, God, give me the passion, and, you know, not to, I want to trick him and whip him. No. It wasn't about that. God, I said, I want to be intimate with my husband and you be satisfied. I started changing my verbiage. I started changing my prayers. God, I want to please you. And because I want to please him, he would give me revelations and wisdom how to please my husband. And it worked. And I did not do it to please my husband. I did it to please it to God. So I said to you, woman of God, the answer to ask that question, give your husband patience, not because you want patience back, because you a lot of times we try stuff, and when it don't work over so many days, we go back to our old ways. You can't do that. You can't try just to fix it. You gotta try God, because you know God is God. You know, I love the fact that I know, even when I go through my challenging moments, and sometimes I do go through my doubts, I want to be very real and very transparent. There's times I go through my doubts. If it's not, I'm not talking about just my marriage, just in life in general. But God, will all the Holy Ghost will remind me that he did it before me and he'll do it for me again. And I will say to you, do you understand? Go by the track record. God has been there for you. He done brought you out. He done solved your problems. He done made a way out of no way. Go back on your track record. Even when you don't see no evidence of things changing, go back on the track record. Know God is God and he has not changed. And just because he has not answered you now does not mean he's not going to answer you. He's going to answer you. You just got to wait on it. You got to realize that God has a reason and a season for everything. And we don't have all the answers. This show don't have all the answers. This designed to give you some tools, to give you some examples, and to have a discussion that you can have something to outlet and that you can hear wisdom and God's word. I hope and pray that you have been blessed tonight. This has been Share Talk with Pastor Teresa, and this is Wives Monday. And my co-host is not with us tonight, but she will be back with us on the first Monday of next month. And I want you to know that the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Let me pray with you. Father, we thank you. We thank you for these women. We thank you for these wives that desire to be more of you, be more what you desire him to be, God. We thank you right now for giving us the 9 ways to improve our behavior and our attitude in our marriage, God. God, I ask you right now, creating us a clean heart and renew the right spirit within us, God. God, we thank you right now, every woman, every wife that's on this line, every wife to be, God, the desire to be in your will, God. I pray right now that you do surgery on their hearts, God. God, as they continue to open their ears that they can hear you, as they continue to open their eyes that you can see you, God. I thank you right now that you're increasing their fasting, you're increasing their prayer life, you're increasing their studies, God, not to change anything, but because it's the right thing to do. God, we thank you right now, God. You touch every husband that these women represent, God. Touch them, God. God, we thank you right now that you're making them the head and not the tail, God. God, we thank you right now they're going to be the priests of their home, God. They're going to walk and run after you. They're going to thirst after you. They're going to hunger after your righteousness, God, and they're going to be the priests of their homes that you desire them to be, God. We thank you right now, God. Now, we leave, as we leave this airline, but we don't leave your presence, we ask you to cover each woman and their family under your wings, God, a head of protection around them right now in the name of Jesus. We bless your holy name for what we've said on tonight, for all the tools that's been shared. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, ladies, I thank you again for tuning in to Share Talk. I have been your host, Pastor Teresa, and I pray that I see you back here next week. We got a different segment that's going to happen. It's going to be about children, mothers, but it's going to got a twist. Me on Twitter.com and also like me on Facebook, and also remember that you can always replay this segment in any segment by visiting the list. Amen. I pray that I see you next Monday right here on Share Talk. And remember, the hardship of life don't have to leave you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow. Good night.
You have been in tune to Share Talk with your host, Pastor Teresa, brought to you by the way of Teresa Burton Ministry. Every Monday at 6:30 p.m. right here on Share Talk, you can meet Pastor Teresa for a live empowerment session that guarantees to challenge you, encourage you, and inspire you to be all what God has you to be. We would also like to invite you to visit her on her website at teresaburtonministry.com. Tune in next Monday for another empowerment session by call 347-580-8820 or by using the link that's provided. Until next Monday, remember, the hardship of life don't have to make you bitter, but better as we share, talk, and grow.
He wants it all today.